Last one was 1:15.
We waited for you.
Sorry. My phone call.
Okay, we are ready to start. Item number 29, Mr. Briggs.
Thank you. Actually, what we'd like to do is announce items 29, 30, and 31. We have joint presentations to kind of march through those different topic areas. 29 is development of a regional sediment assessment framework. 30 is the San Lorenzo River sediment total maximum daily low implementation and monitoring. And then the last one, 31, is the summary of timber activities and proposed actions. And Dominic Rock of our staff, who thought he was going to sit down, but is going to lead things off, and then I think we're going to actually conclude with Dominic as well. So he's the bookends for this presentation.
Thanks, Roger, and good afternoon, members of the board, Mr. Chairman. The next three presentations are, in fact, somewhat related. The first item describes the development of a regional sediment assessment framework. Key word here is regional. The next item describes the status of the San Lorenzo River sediment TMDL, which was adopted by this board on May 16th of 2003. And Katie McNeil will provide you, will revisit that plan somewhat with you and provide you a status of the implementation. And the third item explicitly addresses a single activity, timber harvesting, which has the potential to discharge sediment. You'll recognize several themes in the presentations. One is obviously sediment. Another is the focus on protecting beneficial uses associated with anadromous fish. Those are the steelhead and coho that spend a portion of their lifetime in the ocean. And the first two items, the regional sediment item and the TMDL, also embody an important point made clear in the June 28th timber workshop, that no single activity causes the conditions that we see expressed in the watershed today, but it's rather multiple stressors that are interacting to explain those conditions. And the TMDL and the timber waiver item reveal another important theme, which is where there are known problems, staff's approaches emphasize implementation of measures that are known to be effective in preventing discharge and on tracking those that implementation activity. So while I think these themes are relatively apparent in the presentations that follow, I don't think that in and of themselves they resolve a broader question that the board has raised previously, which has been their interest in a watershed scale monitoring. So I wanted to address that directly. Several staff came together to consider the need for additional watershed scale monitoring. And these included the three staff that are presenting today, as well as members of our ambient monitoring program and our senior staff. Our recommendation is that we rely on existing and proposed monitoring and assessment in lieu of establishing additional watershed scale monitoring at this time. And I'd like to briefly provide you with the basis for that recommendation and then revisit that a little after the presentations. We have, first off, proven our effectiveness at regulating specific discharges, so we feel this is a wise use of our resources. Additionally, the protection of anadromous fish is a shared responsibility. Sediment problems are largely known in the Big Basin Hydrologic Unit, which encompasses the Santa Cruz Mountains within our region, and we feel that a shift to remediation of those problems is appropriate. There's substantial monitoring and assessment completed and additional monitoring and assessment underway. And finally, we have a real adaptive management strategy underway pursuant to the TMDL and the San Lorenzo River watershed. And we feel like we can pilot a process for integrating existing information about the protection of beneficial uses through that TMDL process. With a pilot that works, we can then extend it throughout the rest of the Santa Cruz Mountains. So we feel that these three items that are going to be discussed combined with other regulatory programs that we aren't directly talking about, the stormwater programs and other regulated discharges, are really the package that allows us to best address beneficial use protection while balancing our limited resources. We strongly believe that in the context of the Santa Cruz Mountains, the most important activities are for us to prevent sediment discharge, address existing sediment sources, and to track the implementation of our efforts to do that. What our presentations will show you are what we are proposing to do and what we are currently doing. We will also start the presentations with the status of the Regional Sediment Assessment Framework. And I'll come back up after Howard's item for some wrap-up of the issues and for questions about all of the items for all of the staff involved. So without further ado, let me turn it over to Mark Angelo.
Thanks, Elmer. Good afternoon, Chairman Young and members of the board. My name is Mark Angelo. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Regional Sediment Assessment Framework that Dominic and I have been working on. Can you hear me okay?
A little louder.
Okay. First, I just want to go briefly over what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to describe what the framework is and what it isn't, discuss why we need the framework, and just give some, a few examples of our work up to date. So the framework only addresses the effects of sediment as a pollutant, not the effects of pesticides and metals that adhere to the sediment. We're concerned with the quantity of sediment as an environmental and its environmental effects, and not the sediment quality. It is a system for organizing the different types of information needed to perform sediment assessment and monitoring. It will contain the tools necessary to perform analysis at different geographic scales. It will provide the protocols required to collect data in a consistent, useful fashion. And most of all, it is in a comprehensive monitoring program. Okay, why do we need it? The framework will provide the science for creating meaningful strategies for monitoring. The tools that will be developed as part of the framework will give the staff information that they need to understand what they see in the field and to make decisions based on what they see. We want to raise the bar on how we identify sediment problems. In the past, we have relied on undocumented observations by staff to determine if sediment is impacting beneficial uses. And we want consistent techniques for collecting and documenting field data that will give us more confidence in our ability to identify and fix sediment problems. We envision this to work at three different scales. The regional scale is a stratification, is a broad brush approach that will allow us to predict long-term sediment movement within the region. Go back one. Thanks. At the watershed scale analysis, it uses information about landscape and human changes to the landscape to better understand the dynamic nature of sediment within streams. And then at the site scale, the protocols we develop will allow for consistent data collection and documentation and better understanding of the impacts of sediment on beneficial uses. And with that, I want to give a couple of examples of what we've been doing with that. This is an example of the regional scale stratification. It's preliminary analysis. Everything I'll show you except for the protocol work is kind of analysis we did quickly so we have something to show you what kind of thinking we're doing. The map shows areas with different suspended sediment concentrations that would be expected based on average rainfall and temperature. The blue represents well-watered areas in the region where suspended sediment concentrations should be low. These well-watered areas, as in the Santa Cruz Mountains and the Big Sur, have a more lush vegetation, which causes sediment production to be lower than other areas. The red represents areas where high suspended sediment concentrations would be expected. These areas include the Salinas Valley, and the Salinas Valley, the Carrizo Plain here, the Estrella, and then Santa Maria area. And just for a little future reference, please note the extensive red area in the Salinas Valley area. Okay, the inset shows the Arroyo Seco River and the Salinas River, the confluence of the two right here. You can see that. Based on the regional stratification, the Arroyo Seco should carry less sediment than the Salinas River because much of its area produces suspended sediment concentrations below 1,000 parts per million. And you can see that in here. This is the upper Arroyo Seco, which feeds into the Salinas. The majority of the Salinas watershed produces high suspended sediment concentrations over 5,000 parts per million, which is confirmed by the long-term data from the USGS gauge at Spreckles. So I don't know if you can see the number here. This is 10 years of data at Spreckles, and that's average. If you had this concentration all the time for the flows over those 10 years, that would be the total sediment production for the Salinas. So that's 10 years of data, and we have the same kind of data here for 20 years in the Arroyo Seco, and that's 800 parts per million, which is consistent with what we expect from the analysis. And then just a little graphic illustration. This doesn't show up too well here, unfortunately, with the lights. The Arroyo Seco River here is running clean, and the Salinas is running turbid. And so you can see here, Arroyo Seco coming out of the upper reaches here, and this photo is taken right at the confluence. And then there's the Salinas. Okay, at the watershed scale, we're looking at, this is just, a quick analysis just on five different watersheds within the Big Basin Hydrologic Unit. This shows maps. This is showed as just roads that are mapped at this time. It doesn't show all the roads associated with timber harvesting. Let's see. You see the more well-developed areas are the San Lorenzo watershed, the Soquel Creek watershed, and the Aptos Valencia Creek watershed. And as a contrast, we have Waddell Creek, which is about 85% state park, and then Scott and San Vicente Creeks, which is mostly timber production zone. And then this just highlights where we have water bodies that currently are impaired, identified as impaired by sediment. So the three more developed areas are currently identified as being impaired. And then the last slide shows data, crunching the data, kind of using GIS and some database techniques. We can estimate road density, which has been shown, again, it correlates well with sediment production in certain areas. So here, again, you see Waddell Creek and San Vicente Creek. Road density, and this is in road miles per square mile, and you see the lower numbers relative to the more developed areas. And I did the same kind of analysis with a parcel kind of thinking. So you do parcel density. You see very low parcel density in the two undeveloped areas, and then the high parcel density. And the red here, the blue is the watershed average, and then red is a 300-foot buffer along all the streams within the watersheds. So it shows the density. Here again, you see the road density here is higher along in the creeks, along the streams in the San Lorenzo, and accordingly with the parcel density. And then this last slide is an example of the site-scale data collection and analysis that we have performed while developing and testing monitoring protocols. The samples that we take in the field are processed in the lab, and then the results of the lab analysis are compared to TMDL numeric targets. So then this is a graph of some of the work Dominic and I have done, and this, like I said, is not comprehensive monitoring. We're trying to test some of the techniques that we're using or proposed to use in the TMDLs, and then we're refining our techniques. So this shows percent of the gravel sample that is less than 6.3 millimeters, which is about a sand size, in the sand size range, and this affects fry emergence. So once the eggs hatch, the fry have to emerge from the gravels, and if there's too much sand in that size of sediment, then it makes it hard for the fry to emerge into the stream above. And then, of course, this is in comparison to the current TMDL target, which is 30%.
And why are there three bars?
We did different riffles. So what we do normally is we combine these into one. So here we only did two in Santa Rosa Creek, and we did three on the other creeks, and then two in the San Lorenzo. Okay, in conclusion, I just wanted to point out that these are examples, and they're just that. They're not a comprehensive analysis of any sort. They just wanted to illustrate the types of capabilities we have and general direction in which we're heading. So now I'd like to hand it over to Katie to update you on the status and implementation and monitoring of San Lorenzo TMDL.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman Young and members of the board. I'm Katie McNeil, and they're going to be pulling up my portion of the presentation. I'm going to be talking about the San Lorenzo River sediment TMDL tracking and monitoring status. How the TMDL fits in is that the San Lorenzo River is in the implementation phase, the TMDL, and it's one of the first TMDLs that were adopted in our region. It's a pilot.